All right, back again. Reggie in the booth, thumbs up. The levels seem to be bouncing just in the right spot. Mike is hot, talent is ready. All that's left is to hit the go button. Houston, we have no problem. Star, smile, strong. Those are the three S's, which can only mean it's ready to say 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com, a new episode is posted every Monday, as well as whichever format you find your favorite podcast, it should be there. And don't forget, wherever you find your podcast, don't forget to subscribe as well as rate this podcast. And by all means, if you like what you hear, the best advertising is your recommendation. So tell your friends, pass on a link, but let everybody know that you listen to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and let them know that you think they should too. Also, if you like what you hear, you go to WGNplus.com. I have a landing page. You go to the entertainment section, you hit entertainment, Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and there you will find all previous 178 episodes. Which, of course, if you do the math, and please show all work, could only mean one thing. It's that obvious, isn't it? This is episode 179. As I've said many times, I do encourage you to go back and listen to previous podcasts, whether you have been with me for the entire length of this podcast, which dates back to about May of 2016, and as I said, now 179 episodes. Whether you've been here since episode 1, or maybe you found us at episode 12, or maybe you found us at episode 100, or maybe you found us at episode 117, or maybe 134, or maybe 156, or maybe 167, whatever number you have found us at, A, thank you for finding us, and B, your loyalty is much appreciated, and thank you so much for listening. I enjoy doing the podcast. I hope you enjoy listening. As I said, tell your friends, pass along a link and let them know. Because everybody's listening to podcasts these days, and they're listening at all different times. It really is an interesting dynamic. And so, yes, by all means, I certainly do this for folks that may know me from a previous world on the radio at WGN Radio in Chicago. But at the same time, it doesn't matter now. Podcasts can go anywhere, anytime, around the world. You can listen at 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon. You can be in Dubai, or you can be in Dubuque. It doesn't matter. So that's kind of cool. As I've said many times, the one thing I do miss about the podcast that is not, readily available, which is on regular broadcast radio, is the immediacy and the immediate interaction. But I certainly try to make this as much of a dialogue as possible, and you are certainly free to email me on my Facebook page. I do post the new episodes on my Facebook page throughout the week, the new one each week, so they're certainly up there for you not only to click onto, but also to make comments about. So I certainly urge you to do that as well. I do urge you, this week especially, to go back, not too far, You don't have to go back to episode 7 or episode 14 or episode 126. But as I said, because I try to make this an ongoing dialogue, I will oftentimes refer to past podcasts about things that maybe have happened in the past and they're happening again, or updates or just references. So it is good, I think, if you like the podcast, to go back and listen to some former or past episodes, just to get a handle and a little sense as to what we're talking about here on a regular basis and who I am and things like that. So if I do make references, you'll understand the reference. And this week, I would suggest that if you have not heard, and this, as I said, this isn't even that far back, because I think it's worth updating. You can go back to just 174. That's only 5 weeks ago. That's five episodes ago. We've already got a nice little update on a couple of things I talked about that I think are worth mentioning at this stage. So if you have not heard episode 174, hey, go back, listen to that one, and then you can listen to this one, and it'll make all sense. As I said, go back to WGNplus.com and go on the landing page and look up episode 174, and bingo, you'll be in business, because this then will make a lot more sense. Although, you don't have to. I will certainly update you as to what I'm talking about, but it might make it a little more fun. And one thing I also say on a regular basis is, look, I'm only looking. You've got, okay, let's do the math. Once again, show your work. Okay, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 7 times 24, right? 7 times 24 is 168 hours, right? No, am I right? No, 24 and 7. Yeah, 168, right? 4 times 7 is 28, 14, 2, yeah, 168. Please show all work. All I'm asking for is like 1 hour out of those 168 hours. That's not that many. You still have 167 hours to do whatever you want. I'm asking just for one out of 168. So that was as if you had $168 in your pocket, and somebody came by and said, hey, can I borrow a buck? Sure. Wouldn't you say, oh, well, yeah, my gosh, I've got 168. Here's one. That's all he's asking for is $1. I could spare that. Or if you had $1.68 and somebody asked for a penny, wouldn't you just give him a penny? That's all I'm asking for. 168th of your week to listen to this podcast. That's all I'm asking. Not too big of a price. And it's free. I'm not even asking you for money. Just your time. I know time is precious, but I'm asking for 1 hour out of 168. So just maybe, get one less hour of sleep. That's all. You could divide it up any way you'd like. So, yeah, a little update here. In episode 174, I got on my soapbox, which I am, where I am frequently propped up. That's the whole idea of this, isn't it? And I was talking about a very unique species in the animal kingdom, which is known as the Chicago sports fan. I've been born and raised in Chicago. I played sports throughout my early and mid-life. I played baseball and basketball and football and hockey and tennis and racquetball and whatever I can. I mean, I just, enjoy in football. I played sports throughout my life. And so obviously I was a sports fan as well as a participant. I was also a fan. And having lived in this city my entire life, I've come to be excited as well as, sadly, more than not, disappointed in the fortunes of our sports teams. And most specifically, right around now, I was talking about in episode 174, about 5 weeks ago. I was talking about sports fans, namely Chicago Bears fans and Chicago Cub fans, and how, and the fortunes of both of their teams. And I went out on a limb and made some predictions 5 weeks ago when the football season was just beginning and when the baseball season was just ending. And I thought it would be worthy to revisit some of those predictions. Now, the fun thing about predictions is most of the time we enjoy making predictions. A lot of times the predictions are made, they are, boasted about, they are introduced with great fanfare. I have this prediction about this and that, whether it's, you know, who's going to win the Academy Award, who's going to win the Super Bowl, whatever. But you very often, you hear all about the prediction, and you don't really hear about the ultimate outcome. For some reason, that doesn't merit any follow-up, which I always find interesting. And so I'm going to do a little follow-up here. Now the whole idea of the prediction, I believe, is to be accurate. I always get this. There's an interesting phenomenon when people predict something. Some people just like to predict something that is completely out of the realm of possibility. You know, there's always the long shot better, right? And yes, there's no question that sometime the long shot comes in, but more or less, the long shot is given that name for a reason. It's a long shot that it will happen. Yes, if you go to the racetrack, there are some people that will only bet on long shots. They're looking for that big score. And yes, there are times when the long shot will defy the odds and will win, and that person will win a lot of money on a long shot, no question. And you will certainly hear about it. If they win on a long shot, you will hear about it. If your friends or whatever, they bet on a long shot or something like that, or some outrageous thing, and they win at roulette, which is another difficult game of chance just by picking, one number. Oh, you'll hear about it, and you'll hear about how much they won, and you'll hear about the whole story about how they won that game. But you really will not hear about the 999 times that they continued to bet on the long shot and didn't win. That you will not hear about. So every, year or so, you'll hear about this amazing long shot that they hit. But they will conveniently not tell you how many other times they bet either that day or throughout that year before that long shot happened. I don't understand that in terms of making a prediction. Now, if you're at the track and you want to do that, that's fine. You want to, like I said, you want to make the big score, go for it. I think you're better off either taking a favorite or taking something in the middle and winning a little money than just always betting on the long shot and losing. But that's the way some people are. They go for broke, and that's fine. No problem. I don't know how many times they win, but the law of averages every so often do, fall prey to a long shot. But when it comes to predictions, a lot of times people try to make these outrageous predictions, and they think that for some reason, I'm not just going to be boring and predict how boring it is to predict what you think's going to do. So I'm going to make some outrageous prediction. Well, then what's the sense of doing it? Because odds are it has no chance. But then if it does hit, then they get to take their bow. But it usually never does. Especially when you hear someone make predictions about an award show like the Oscars or the Emmys or the Grammys or something. And they'll say, that's boring. Everybody knows that, this song or this movie or this TV show is going to win. So I'm not going to be boring like you. I'm going to make a thing and say this. But you're not making a prediction then. It's just, you're just being contrarian. And most likely your prediction isn't going to come true. And what are you doing? Who cares? To me, that's I just don't understand that mindset. It's trying to be like, oh, look at me. I'm going out on a limb. But you're not, because you're going to be wrong. And nine times out of 10, 9.9 times out of 10, they are wrong. And so to me, it's a frivolous prediction. Don't even waste anyone's time with it. When I make a prediction, I try to, whether it's, and if it is the prevailing prediction, and yes, it's boring, fine. But the idea of the prediction is to be correct, not to be outrageous. I just never understand that. And like I said, a lot of sports people do that. Oh, well, everybody's doing that. I'm going to say this. Well, okay, say it. And you're wrong. And so you have no credibility with me. The credibility is to somebody who makes a prediction and is consistently correct. Then I go, okay, I listen to that person. But someone who just makes wild predictions that are just to be different and to be crazy, that they're not based on any kind of reality, have no chance of coming come true. Well, who cares? That's the talk of a wild person. It's a mad person. And like I said, the funny thing that's interesting is when people make predictions, they will make these predictions, whether they're legit or they're trying to be outrageous, and you never really hear the follow-up. I believe that if you make a prediction, two things can happen. You are going to be right or wrong. Wow, how's that for a prediction, huh? But so here's the thing. If you make the prediction and it is correct, then by all means, I think you should get a chance to take your bow and say, see, I predicted this. Here were my reasons why. And sure enough, it happened. And you take your little bow and you were correct. It's not about needing to be correct, but you put yourself out in the public forum of making a prediction. If it does come true, I think you have the right to let people know that you were correct on that. Same way here. If you are wrong and you put yourself out in the public arena and made a prediction, I think then if you were wrong, you need to say, well, I predicted this. I was wrong. And you take your lumps. So I think if you do something good, yes, you should be rewarded. And if you did something wrong, you should also be a big enough person to remind people of your mistake and own it. Nothing wrong with that. Nobody's perfect. And if you don't want either to take the bow or take the hits, then don't make a prediction. Once again, very simple. There is an alternative. You don't have to go out there and put yourself on a limb. Some people enjoy to do that. I enjoy doing that. So I will take my lumps or I will take my bows. I am happy to report, based on episode 174 of this very podcast, that I can take one very deep bow, and my bow on the second prediction is not complete yet. We're only about halfway through, but I think I'm in good shape to be bowing at the waist, or maybe I'll even curtsy. One of my predictions came true already. That's a done deal. So I will take a bow for that, and I believe I can begin to begin the second my bow for the second one. So I'm fairly pleased with that. Now, if I was wrong, I would certainly tell you. But in episode 174, I was talking about Bear fans, Chicago Bear fans, and Chicago Cub fans. First of all, let me say, and as this is what I said in the original podcast, the Chicago Bear fan and Chicago Cub fans are extremely loyal, extremely dedicated. They have seen their teams through some great highs and many, many seasons of lows, and they have remained dedicated and loyal to those teams. And those people certainly deserve, kudos and a round of applause. But at the same time, the points that I try to make is that blind faith in something can also be just as bad because you're not helping the cause. So 5 weeks ago, and I think that in many ways, Bear and Cub fans, while they are very loyal and very dedicated and very knowledgeable, they are also, sadly, many of them fall into the blind faith category where they just will not they will not look at reality, and they will put a positive spin on everything, and they will always think that next year or next week or next game their team will win, and they always have this feeling that this is the year and they're going to win the Super Bowl, and there's always great preseason optimism, even when the realities show that there really is no optimism. No need for it. They didn't. If they lost last year, they really didn't get all that better this year. So why are they going to do better this year? And I understand that at the heart of every fan, there is that optimism. And especially in sports, when the new season starts, it's a clean slate, right? So everybody does have a chance. I understand that. That's very nostalgic. That's very sentimental. That's very romantic. And it's very wrong. I'm a pragmatist. I'm a realist in many ways. I'm certainly a dreamer. I'm not against dreaming and having lofty goals and hoping for the best. But I also think that the best way to achieve your goal or achieve your dream and make your dream a reality, as opposed to just some pie in the sky thing that will never happen, is to be realistic, look at something from a realistic point of view, and then find the flaws, fix the flaws, and odds are you may get to that goal, as opposed to just closing your eyes and saying, it's just because I like this team. That's why they'll do well. That's not enough. And I also think that hurts overall in the long term. That kind of blind faith in a team almost assures that we'll never get better, because you're proving to the ownership of those teams that, you know, they, at the end of the day, they're there to make a profit. Certainly they'd like to win the championship, but many teams are just worried about making a profit, and you've pretty much given them a license to print money. Because if the team is just good enough, they will have that built-in fan base that will go regardless, because they are so rabid. They will always give the team the benefit of the doubt, and they will support the team. And then the team will fail. And of course, you know, if you don't have to spend a lot of money on expenses like good players or good coaches or good management, then you will make more profit. And so I think, sadly, is diehard. The irony is that the diehard fan is so loyal, and they say, "Hey, we—that's why we are diehard fans, because we are there thick and thin." You're actually doing your team a disservice if you want them to win by being that diehard loyal fan that continues to go out, because you're not giving the team any incentive to ever improve, because they know that they can count on you to support them through watching on television, through their advertisers or buying tickets. They know you're going to be there whether they're good or bad. So you're not really helping your team. If you want to help your team when they're good, no doubt, support them through the roof. But when they're not, make them accountable. And the best way that a sports fan can make them accountable is not go to the games, is not buy the jerseys, is not watch the games or listen to the games on the television or the radio, and send the message that we will not take this. We will not accept mediocrity. Oh, we will support you when you're on your way back, or when we look and we see some real commitment on your end. But if not, we're not coming back. You have to win us back. And sadly, in Chicago, that doesn't happen all that often. I have to say, of all the sports, major sports teams in Chicago, the one fan base who did that and who was rewarded for it, who proves my thesis, were Chicago Blackhawk hockey fans. Chicago Blackhawk hockey fans, I being one of them, been a fan since I was a little kid. I've told you many times, my idol is Tony Esposito, the former and Hall of Fame goalie from the Blackhawks from the late 60s and early 70s, and even into the 80s. But I was a rabid Blackhawk fan when I was a little kid, and I remained a Blackhawk fan until about 15, 16, 17 years ago, when the team was so pathetic and so terrible that I could no longer support them. I no longer watched them. I never went to games. I didn't wear any of their paraphernalia, their memorabilia, nothing. They were horrible. I went to one game. There was 5,000 people at a hockey game in Chicago. It was a disgrace. The team was horrible. I left after the first period, and I didn't go back for 10 years. I did not care about the team. They were not on my radar screen because they were so terrible. And obviously others like me did the same thing because there were 5,000 people in a stadium that held 20. Blackhawk fans said, "We're tired of this. We're staying away until you make a commitment to be a championship team." And after the old management passed away and new management, namely Rocky Wirtz, took over from his father, Bill, who passed away. Rocky Wirtz, within 2 or 3 years, completely changed that organization and was rewarded the fans with 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years. The Blackhawks were voted at one point right before Bill Wirtz died and his son took over and made an amazing transformation. They were ranked as the worst sports organization in all of sports, not just hockey, in all of sports. That's how low that organization had sunk. This was a founding organization of the National Hockey League. It's in a top 3 market in Chicago, the top 3 market in the country, and it had sunk to that low. That's when ownership is doing a bad job. And kudos to Blackhawk fans who stopped coming and made the new ownership take notice. And Rocky Wirtz made some very smart strategic moves, hired some very good professional people, certainly got a little luck. But within a couple of years, they won a Stanley Cup. And they even won 3 Stanley Cups in 6 years. And that's why I'm very proud of Chicago Blackhawks fans who are knowledgeable, who are dedicated, who are loyal, all those things. But they're also smart enough to say, no, we're not going to take this. Sadly, Cub fans and Bear fans can't get into that. They can't grasp that. The Bears and the Cubs have become a part of people's DNA to some extent. Their lives are built around it. You know, for football, it's only 8 games a season. So families get together and they have their favorite food and they celebrate and they go to the games and they wear their hats and their jerseys. And a Bear game is a communal, social, family tradition event. So, you know, it's more than just a game. And the same thing with Cub fans. Cub fans are born and bred. People name their kids or their dogs Wrigley and Clark and Addison and Ernie and Banks and Ron and now Chris and Anthony you name it. It's in their system. Every season, they'll watch every game, they'll go to every game, they'll live and die. And once again, they'll forget it took 108 years of that. That's uncanny. 108 years without a championship. Finally, in 2016, they won. 108 years between World Series championships. And yet that place, for the most part, has been sold out. At least over the last 30 years it has. There was a time when it wasn't. But over the last 20 years, I would say 35 years, that place has been a gold mine. It's been a sellout. It's been one big urban party without a championship. They finally got it. And hey, I'm a Cub. I played in Wrigley Field when I was a little kid. I'm a Cub fan, but I also will criticize the team when I think they're doing wrong. I want them to get better. That's what my criticism is based on. Not because I hate them, because I love them. I want them to be good. I'm not just blindly in denial about how good they are. When they're great, I will stand up and cheer as loud as anyone else. But when they're bad, I will call them out on the carpet for it because I want them to get better. Most Cub fans and Bear fans won't do that until the wheels fall off, until it's so painfully obvious. So, back to my predictions. I predicted 5 weeks ago, when the season was still on, and when the Cubs were merely two games out of first place, they were certainly well in the thick of the playoff race, just two games out, and they were about to play just the week before I made this prediction. They were about to play the first place St. Louis Cardinals, so at home in Wrigley Field, four games. So they could have come out of that series in first place. And they could have gone on to win the division and get into the playoffs, and who knows, they could have got to the World Series. So this was far from over. They were in the hunt when I made this prediction. And that's why I'm going to take a bow. Because despite the fact that they were in the hunt and could have turned it around after a seesaw kind of season, I predicted that their manager, Joe Maddon, would be fired or let go, because he was not really fired. His contract was up. So the prediction was that they would not pick up Joe Maddon's contract and he would not continue to be the manager moving forward after this five-year contract expired at the end of the season, regardless of the fact that in 2016, he was the manager who broke the 108-year drought of the World Series. And I know many fans, Cub fans, when Joe Maddon was the manager of that team in 2016, as soon as they won that, they quickly would absolve any past, present, or future sins he may have ever performed as a Cub manager, because he was the one that won it. But that's not the way I look at it. I want to win every year. To me, to win that one thing, many Cub fans go, hey, they won a World Series and I saw it, so that's good enough. And I say, no. Do you want to wait another 108 years? Or do you want to win every year? Do you want to have the expectation to win every year? The World Series is the measuring stick. If you're in the World Series, that's how you made a successful season. Now, if you win or lose, that's fine. But making it, to me, that's the yardstick for success. It doesn't matter if you won 95 games in the season. If you don't get to the World Series, those 95 games don't mean anything. It might make you feel good throughout the summer, but the goal is to be in the World Series. If you're a true fan of the team, that's your goal. And that's what Theo Epstein for the Cubs is trying to create, that kind of a culture. But Cub fans, they're so used to losing that they're just happy when they do well. Well, I say no. You've already seen the team can win a World Series. There's no curse of a goat. There's no curse of nothing. You know what the curse has been? Bad management for 108 years. Bad ownership. You put the right pieces together, you get the right person to do it, you win. That's what Theo Epstein did. Forget all that BS about curses and all this stuff. It was bad ownership and bad management. And sadly, contributing to that were fans who allowed the ownership to get away with that for 108 years. So I will take a bow, because in the midst of the Cubs being in the playoffs, turned out that not only did they lose all four of those games, They wound up losing 9 games at the end of the season, and they came in third place and didn't even make the playoffs. And Joe Maddon was told that his contract was not going to be renewed even before the last game of the season. So I take full credit for that prediction, because the Cubs could have looked like a fool right now. Right now, the World Series is going on. The Cubs could have been in it. And people could have laughed at me and said, oh, boy, Jim, you went out on a limb. You said Maddon was going to get fired. Look at the Cubs are in the World Series. Well, I knew they weren't going to get there. And I knew Joe Maddon wasn't going to take them there again. Sorry, Cub fans. But the writing was on the wall. Joe Maddon certainly won the championship for the Cubs, but I felt he was never, he had one good season in 2015. In 2016, I think he overmanaged, and the Cubs won the World Series despite his overmanaging in Game 6 and 7. The next year, they got to the league championship only because Dusty Baker of the Washington Nationals, who are now in the World Series this year, in fact, with a new manager, because they needed one. The Cubs only beat the Nationals in that because Dusty Baker was a worse manager for the Nationals than Joe Maddon was for the Cubs. And then last year, the Cubs couldn't even win one game out of two at their home field to go into the wild card or win their division. And so they sat and watched. And this year, they completely missed the playoffs and were in third place. Don't feel sorry for Joe Maddon. He won a World Series. He'll go down in history for that. And he also made $6 million a year in 5 years. He made $30 million. That's just on his contract. He made much more money on different endorsements, and he won a World Series. He became a Chicago folk hero. He'll forever be known as the Cub manager who broke the curse. He will always be remembered for that. He had a good run here, but his effectiveness was gone, and it's been gone for a while. And a lot of Cub fans would not face that, would not deal with that. Oh, he won us a World Series. It doesn't matter. That was almost 5 years ago now, gang. Think about that. So, thank you very much. I predicted Joe Maddon would be let go, even though many people thought he would not. The other prediction I made was that amidst all the hype from last year's 12-4 record, that the Chicago Bears were going to make the playoffs this year and probably go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. They were the team that were on the up and up. And after last season, the networks couldn't help it. This season, they have the Bears on national television because it's a top three market. If the Bears do well, that's good ratings because of the crazy loyalty that Bear fans have. And I countered and said that the last year's 12-4 record was a mirage, that they were at best an 8-8 team. They had a great defense that helped mask the weakness of their offense, and that the fact that they got a new defensive coordinator this year, which means a change in the defense, the fact that they would be playing a first-place schedule as opposed to a last-place schedule, and the fact that I didn't believe that their offense, I didn't believe their coach, Matt Nagy, was some genius, and I didn't think that Matt Trubisky was the savior. And so I predicted, even though everybody was talking about the Bears going to the Super Bowl, I predicted the Bears would be 7-9, 8-8 at best, but most likely 7-9, and would not go to the playoffs. And I was looked at with great shock and almost anger by many people, but that was my predictions. Well, as I said, I'm ready to take a half bow now. We're 6 weeks into the season, 7 weeks into the season. The Bears had a bye. They are 3-3. They are in complete disarray. They've lost two games in a row. They looked horrible in their last game against the New Orleans Saints. And they really should even be 3-3 because they won a game against Denver in literally not even the last second, maybe 0.2 seconds. They were able to kick a field goal and win. They should have lost that game. So really right now, in my eyes, they're 2-4. And if I, as I look at their schedule moving forward, I, even being generous, I don't believe they even, they definitely lose nine games and maybe more. And that's being generous with some games. So I'm ready to take the bow, and hopefully Bear fans, and all, and now they're all, and Bear fans are already, after the game last week, they're all, now they're, they, you know, they go from love to hate in 2 seconds. I saw this before the season started. I didn't see how, what they did to get that much better. But there is this eternal optimism in Bear fans. Bear fans, please, I say this every year. It's a rerun. It's the same script. You have to stop. I know it's a part of your life. I know it feels impossible, but it is possible to get through a season and not watch a Bear game. Do what the Blackhawk fans did. Stay home until the team decides to get better. Tell the Bear ownership that you are not going to be their patsies anymore because they're laughing at you. They use the same script. Matt Nagy is Dave Wannstedt. He's Dick Geron. He's Mark Trestman. And he's Lovie Smith. Inexperienced former coordinators without any head coaching experience who they can get on the cheap to take over a team. Maybe Dick Geron did coach, but he wasn't a Super Bowl winner. And the management the same way. They get untested general managers and presidents of the team. This guy, Ryan Pace, completely unqualified, inexperienced, but they got him on the cheap. That's what they do. And they feed you this line, and sadly, the Chicago media plays into there because that helps them make people watch TV and sell newspapers. I wish the Chicago media would be tougher on the Bears and their management every year instead of creating this hype and then midway through, then they just switch it off and they're ultra critical. But it's the same script, Bear fans. Aren't you tired? Do you realize that 1985 is almost 35 years ago? It's been that long, folks. That's how long you've been saying wait till next year. Don't be Cub fans and wait 108 years. Show them you're mad and show them you're not going to be their patsy and show them at the turnstile. Show them at the memorabilia. I know it's hard. I know your whole life and your social and your family lives are built around Bear games, but if that's all you're in it for, then fine. Then you get what you pay for. But they'll never get good if you keep it up. So as I said, I'm here to take a bow and a half. And believe me, when the season's over, if the Bears make some miraculous turnaround and make the playoffs, I will own up to it and say, boy, Jim, you're full of crap. But as it stands right now, my 7-9 prediction looks pretty good. And the disarray that team is in is not surprising me one bit. And if anybody was realistic about what the Bears were going to do this season, they would. All I did was look at the schedule and be realistic in every one of those games. And I came up with 7-9. But Bear fans are not able to look at the reality until it hits them right in the face. And then, for whatever reason, when the season, and the Bears won, the Bears lost in the first round of the playoffs last year. On a horrible game that came down to a ridiculous kick that they missed, but if they were that good, if they really are 12-4 team, they shouldn't even have been in the position to lose a game in the last second. But Bear fans didn't want to see that. I'm a Bear fan. I was here for that World Series, for that Super Bowl. I cheered as much as anyone else that it was a great season. I want the Bears to win the Super Bowl. But I'm tired of seeing this same script. And they follow it every year, and Bear fans follow it every year, and the Chicago media follows us every year. I wish that people would just say no more. Because believe me, if people stop going to games, if they stop wearing jerseys, if they stop watching the games, and it started hitting their bottom line, the Bear ownership would either sell the team which they should do, or make some real changes, not cosmetic, and get off this script that they've been following for the last 35 years. So all I can say is, Joe Madden fired, Bears at 7-9, and right now they're 3-3 and on the down and on a downward spiral. I'll take my bow and a half. And welcome back to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here. And now we take a little stroll to the Pop Culture Club area of the podcast. And we welcome regular contributor Emily Arminetti. Hello, Emily. How you doing?
Hey, Jim. I'm good. How are you?
Well, it's good. We haven't spoken to you in a while since I had to record a few podcasts in advance of my recent trip when I became Jimmy Safari.
Right. Yes. I'm, by the way, very glad that you were not mauled by a hippo.
Not only. Yeah.
Made it back safely.
I was very impressed in that we were there in South Africa for about, 11 days total, maybe 12. We did not get one mosquito bite.
Wow, okay.
And we came back. If you saw me now, you would think I was in my basement for 2 weeks. Because I had on 100, level sunscreen.
SPF?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was translucent at one point.
Right. Did you take any malaria?
Oh, yeah. We had to take malaria pills 3 days before we got into the bush, if you will, and a week after. We were still they gave us a week after. So, but we did not get one mosquito bite, and so as I said, I was in fact the last day. I even said to my wife, I said, I'm going to be a thrill seeker this last day, and I'm going to put on 55 sunscreen.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Mm-hmm. To let a little sun in, so at least people will know that I went somewhere.
Right.
Because tell them I went to Africa and I came back more white than I left.
Right.
But, they were so, it was so hot and it was so sunny. And
at
one point, I remember one day, I don't know how strong it was. I'd been out most of the day and I just sort of went to sit by a pool that we were at a place we were at, and I could sort of feel the sun on me, and I'm like, yeah, you can't play with this sun. This is a different kind of sun, But we had a great time.
Sure.
So, well, anyway.
Good.
So, what I wanted to talk to you about today, because I'm actually mad that I'm even talking about this.
Oh, boy. I don't even know. I have no idea.
I know. Right. Well, I want your immediate and unfiltered and unprepared reaction to this. Because
okay.
I need your reaction as a pop culture guru and as a woman. So I need on two fronts, you fit the bill for this.
Okay, I'm wearing both hats.
You're wearing both hats. One is a big sun hat, I'm sure.
A big summer
mm-hmm. sun hat.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, could you please explain to me, because now this is the third one in like a year and a half. What is the attraction with this Pete Davidson guy?
Oh, geez, here we go. I'm starting to think you're a little obsessed.
Well, because I don't understand. I mean, the Ariana Grande thing, I'll give you, it was some goofy little, summer fling. It was ridiculous. We all knew it was going to, this ridiculous engagement after a month and tattoos. And everybody knew where this was going. And I called it long before. And that's where you first, and that, it was actually in that discussion where you coined your phrase, what?
Oh, I root for love.
You root for love.
But the sentiment behind that was more like, I don't root against it.
Yeah, well, I do.
Hey.
I do. And
do.
So, yeah. So you root for love. So now, of course, before the summer even ended, they broke up.
Right.
And that was last year, right? Or was that this year?
No, that was,
I don't even remember
that
anymore.
That was last year.
Yeah, it was last summer. Okay. So then, and we're like, okay, now, you know, reality sets in again, finally. Okay. Uh-huh. Now all the planets are back in their orbits.
Right.
For a while, the galaxy was off when this happened.
Well, right. Okay.
Because this guy should not even be close to be going out with her. Not that I'm even thinking that she's all that pretty or all that amazing, but she's a huge star. She's certainly attractive. And this guy, in my mind, I mean, if he's not on Saturday Night Live, I mean, this guy is the scariest, weirdest looking guy with a weird voice. And I don't think he's funny. I don't get him at all.
Okay.
So then, one of the most beautiful women in the world, I believe,
mm-hmm.
Kate Beckinsale. What's her name?
Kate Beckinsale?
Yeah. She goes out with this guy.
Yep.
Now, she's a cougar. She's like 20 years older than him, if not more. And, you know, she's going out with this guy. But once again, it lasts about a month or so. And then somehow, you know, these rose-colored glasses fall off and they break up.
Right.
So now after that, I go, okay, finally. Now, I mean, are we now done with this? So then I'm watching the new Quentin Tarantino movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy McDowell's daughter, who's 19. Very pretty girl. Suddenly, she's in that movie, and 3 weeks later, these two are walking around and they're going out.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely read about that. I think, yeah.
And then, as we would expect,
although I will say, I did not realize she was an actress, and I definitely did not realize she was in the Quentin Tarantino.
Oh yeah, no, she was actually. She was in. She's very good. You know, she was also in that TV show with Justin Theroux called The Leftovers, if you ever heard about that on HBO.
Yeah, I never watched it, but I know.
Yeah,
I know
she was good in that, and then she was very good in the Quentin Tarantino movie, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And so now I'm looking around the internet machine, and she's, I don't even know her name, sadly, I feel bad, but, you know, this is how much I even care, but I do care in that what is, so I'm looking around going, I'm sorry. I don't get this. Now, naturally, within 3 weeks, she woke up and said, oh, my God, what am I doing?
Well, now, do we know that for sure? Because he could have ended it, too. You just never
Well, know. I have to think that if you are so out of your league, I don't think you're if this guy's breaking up with any of these women, then he's got the most confidence I've ever seen in the world.
But sometimes with men, that's what it's about. Like, that's what is attractive.
Because he is so, I mean, he was so out of his league in these last three relationships. I don't even know what his league should be, to be honest with you. But I do know that he was out of it with these three women. So please, if you can, I mean, I think we talked about this a year and a half ago, but I have to ask you, now that it's not, now this is three beautiful women with successful careers who most likely could have any man that they want, and they pick this guy, even though they break up.
Right.
He still has he's had a chance to taste the forbidden fruit.
Okay, well, in the first place, I would point out that he is on Saturday Night Live, so
that's enough.
Funny.
That's enough.
Funny. Some women.
You think he's funny? Wait, first, let's start with A. Do you think he's funny?
I've seen him. I think he's funniest when he is contributing on the Weekend Update. I mean, in sketches, like, I don't actually even watch Saturday Night Live that much anymore, except for the odd sketch here and there that's online if it's like getting coverage or someone's like, oh, you gotta watch this, you
right
know, and then I
yeah
watch it.
No, I don't either.
But you know, so since he's been on the show, I can't say that I've sat and seen that many episodes of Saturday Night Live straight through. However, I have seen some clips. I don't know about in the sketches, but like I do think I've seen him do some funny bits, like just doing a like Weekend Update.
Yeah, but when he's on the Weekend Update, he's talking about himself going out with these women.
Well, yeah, and he's funny, but I think that's one thing he has.
Plus, he's trying to talk.
Believe it or not, some women, there are women, and I'm one of them, find that very attractive.
What, that he's on the show?
No, that he's that funny.
Oh, that he's funny.
Attractive.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think that's about all I got going for me, so that's fine. But,
well, but I think for some men, like, for some men, if they're dating a woman who's funny or she's got a good sense of humor, that's like a nice plus, but it's not really something that would be like the main attraction for them.
Right.
But women are a little different. I think we're geared a little differently. So I think some women actually value that over some other things, you know,
right.
Like,
but
you could be dating like the best looking guy in the world. And if he has a terrible sense of humor, that's like, that's
yeah, but at the other yeah. side of the coin, just like what you just said, at the end of the day, as much as women, you know, like to think that they're not superficial and that men are, women love to go out with a good looking guy. There's no question about that.
Well, of course we do. But again, there has to be some, there have to be other.
But do you think that this guy is good looking?
Do I think what?
Do you think this Pete Davidson guy is good looking?
He's really not my cup of tea, but again, and I have to point out, like, everybody's different. So, for example, I have definitely dated guys before who I think are what I call universally good looking, where like most people would be like, yes, that, you know, that guy is undeniably attractive. Okay. But then I've also dated guys who I feel like to me, they were like super attractive and I was really into them, but I think maybe people from the outside would look at it and be like, what's the attraction there? But I can't explain it. So the other thing that you can't explain that I always say is very important in attraction, pheromones.
Is what?
Pheromones. Do you know about pheromones?
Yes, yes. We'll explain what that is.
Well, they say that it's almost like a, it's not really even a scent that you can detect. How would we describe this? Pheromones are kind of a chemical substance that your body emits. And like, and I think it is nature's way of like attracting people to other people. And some people are just attracted to certain pheromones. And I do believe, I personally believe in real life relationships that I've had that those do play a key role. Because there are some people you're just attracted to and you can't really even explain it.
So yeah, this one, well, this one, like I said, yeah,
maybe he's shooting out pheromones from his pores, like, everywhere. I don't know.
I just can't believe when I saw this last, I mean, the Kate Beckinsale one, I'm like, okay, maybe she's going through some midlife crisis and, you know, he made some headlines with Ariana Grande, so she knew she would grab some cheap headlines. And
okay, now in the Kate Beckinsale case, you may be very well right about that.
Yeah,
because for her, it's like I'm not really sure what she's done lately. So
right, exactly.
That was a way.
Yeah,
to, like,
but so I was baffled by the Ariana Grande. I was kind of cynically saw through the Kate Beckinsale one. To me, that looked like a cheap promotional stunt. But then when I see, you know, this other one, you know, this the Andy McDowell's daughter, and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. You're actually in a Quentin Tarantino movie. You don't need him.
Yeah, that's true. Well, there is a third option here.
What's
which
that?
Is he may have something that we just can't quite see.
Oh, my God. Hi-yo.
And now the Ariana Grande thing probably piqued the curiosity of these other women. Okay. Now, I like to keep this PG rated since, you know, at least one of my kids.
Wow. Listen to Emily. Holy smokes.
But there is a third. You know,
a third leg, you mean?
A third secret option.
A third leg.
Huh?
A third leg to the table?
Oh, hey. Wah, wah.
Wow.
So
I have read that.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that's funny that you would say that. Yeah. Because I have heard rumors of that.
Okay, so this is yet another theory.
But, I'll tell you, and in fact, you know, it's funny that you say about the pheromones?
Pheromones, like the pH.
Yeah, pheromones, because...
Like, pheromones.
And don't they put that in, weren't there even some, some colognes or perfumes that were putting that in?
Yes, there were. I'm not sure that necessarily works.
No, but I'm just saying. But here's the funny thing.
You know, it's just like a natural thing that your body emits, you know. So I feel like when they start producing it in the lab and putting it perfumes, I think that's just as like trying to sell people something else.
But well, here's the thing. So what's funny that you say that, because it actually jives into something that I learned while I was just on this African safari that we came back from. And you said that you were on a safari several years ago. So if you remember when you were out in the wild there, there's also these antelopes called impalas.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That are everywhere. And sadly, they are like the appetizer for the lions. You know, in between the stray baby elephant, they'll sort of, you know, nibble on these impalas, which are everywhere, and they catch them. And there are just huge numbers of them all over the place. And we were told that this plays right into your point. So apparently, because they are so easily picked off by lions, and their herds or whatever there are, would be, you know, decimated quickly. They would be extinct because they're eaten so much. Mm-hmm. The only way that nature gives them to combat that is that they're always in these groups. And so one female impala who is in heat will send off a hormone, and all of the other females in her group will also get in heat, because they will pick up that scent and it will trigger them to get in heat so that they can all have babies at the same time.
Okay.
So that they're all pregnant at the same time and all have babies at the same time, so that the herd then will all of a sudden at one time give birth to, say, 50 new babies.
Okay.
So if 20 or 30 get picked off, they still have some. Whereas if Sally Impala got pregnant in October and Gladys Impala had a baby in February, and those two got eaten, well, then their offspring is gone.
Okay, and then I just have to ask, are these impalas living in the 1930s? Why are they named Sally and Gladys? Oh my goodness. Okay. So
it's funny that you say that, because clearly that is a phenomenon that is real in the animal kingdom, because,
at the end of the day, we are all just animals.
And believe me, after coming back from that safari, there's no question about that. I mean, that's the one lesson you learn, because these animals act exactly like we do.
Right. They just can't talk.
In many ways. Yeah. They just don't have the movable thumb. But aside from that, the whole behaviors. I mean, you do get a huge appreciation for that.
Yes. Just like getting back to the Pete Davidson thing, I don't want to throw anybody else under the bus here, but I am still mourning the passing of Rick Ocasek, the late.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Ocasek. And there's another one.
But do I have to point out here that, I mean, for like 30 years, he was married to one of the most beautiful women in the world.
Yeah.
Although he was an incredibly talented artist.
Yeah.
In a number of ways.
What, Paulina Petrikova, right? Paulina Petrikova.
Poroskova.
Poroskova, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, some Russian name.
They met, you know, when she was young on the set of one of their music videos.
Right, she was a model.
In a bunch of their music videos.
She was a model, yeah.
Yeah, and they were together ever since, and they did just like, they weren't even divorced. About a year ago, they separated, you may recall.
She found his body.
They were still very close. They were still very close. She actually found him when he passed, and she had been taking care of him while he was convalescing following a surgery that he had. And so they were still very close, and, you know.
But here's my thing. I'll give you that, because as weird and gawky and nerdy looking as Rick Ocasek was, Ocasek, I just heard that's the official way to say, you know, for 35 years he was Rick Ocasek. Now suddenly he's Rick Ocasek. I don't know.
Yeah, oh, really? I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, that's all I heard. It's like, oh, Rick Ocasek. I'm like, wait a minute. I've always said Rick Ocasek.
Yeah, constantly. So have I.
Everybody did. Yeah. I don't know where that came from. But anyway, but I'll give you that. In that, I mean, there's no doubt. That's a very good example of a guy physically who almost looks like Pete Davidson. If Pete Davidson had a big black wig and wore...
And we're taller.
Pete Davidson's pretty tall. He's very tall. Yeah. If he wore the bad, kind of black, spider sunglasses, he would look like Rick Ocasek. But Rick Ocasek, as you just said, was talented. I just don't think this guy is funny. And I can't believe that just being on Saturday Night Live, that's enough of a draw, right? That's enough of a pheromone.
No, but I just told you. I just laid out other theories.
I understand the third-legged theory as well. But
it's just a working theory. I can't say for sure.
Right, but I'll tell you this. So when I read about them going out, I just I rolled my eyes, and then. Excuse me. And then,
ooh, bless you.
Yeah, that was
that's a first. We've never had.
I never sneezed. That was, I don't even have a dump button here.
Whoa.
Yeah. But then, when they broke up, like 3 weeks later, not even that, almost. I mean, we're seeing these pictures of them out and about, and all of a sudden, they broke up. Well, then, now I'm sitting here, like almost in the back of my mind. It's not. I'm not obsessed with it. But I'm waiting to see the next one he gets.
Yeah.
I think so is he.
He's like, all right, now what?
I want to see. I remember there was a friend of mine who was engaged to somebody who was way out of his league. I mean, way out of his league. Mm-hmm. And I could not understand it.
Now, wait, just to, for the sake of, I don't want to interrupt you, but if your friend is listening now, do you think he knows you're talking about
I don't think so.
Okay, all right, carry on.
She was way out of his league. They were engaged.
Okay.
I have to think he knew that she was way out of his league.
Well, I just asked you, would he know that you're talking about
I don't think
him?
He would know, but I think he knows that she was out of his league.
Okay.
I don't know if he knows who he was.
Uh-huh.
If that makes any sense. But then, when push came to shove, they broke up.
Right. Okay.
And then later, and this, I mean, it wasn't a very good friend of mine. It was an acquaintance. Then later, I saw through the grapevine, and then one day saw the woman he wound up marrying.
Okay.
Completely in his league.
Oh, no. Okay.
And I said, okay, okay.
Not like we're judging.
No, no. Oh, look, hey, I went out of my league.
It kind of makes you think, it makes me think, like, what have people said about us?
Oh, I know. Oh, there's no question. I know. I was out of my league, too. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. But I'm just looking around and saying, I mean, there's times when you say, okay, there's Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt. Yeah, okay.
Right, we understand that.
Yeah, there's Gwyneth Paltrow and Brad Pitt. There's Brad Pitt and anybody. There's Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. Yeah, I mean, okay, that makes sense.
We get it.
We get it. But then to your point about Rick Ocasek or this Pete Davidson, there's these sometimes when you just go, what the hell? And sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. But like I said, when I saw this person, I said, okay, the first time when I saw, I said, whoa, where did this come from? And then I heard they broke up. And then when I saw the woman that he married, I said, okay. Not that this woman was, the other woman was anything, you know, terrible. She right. was a fine-looking woman. I'm sure she was very nice. But this other one was stunning.
Right.
And you were just like, holy smokes. You know. And so, right now, I mean, I guess.
Well, you know, also, with the Pete Davidson thing, just by virtue of being on SNL, that's like a rotating door of celebrities. So
right.
he's constantly in yeah. close proximity
yeah.
to...
Right.
And, you know, and a lot of people in that industry in general are pretty good looking. Not all, you know, obviously...
Yeah, no. I mean, there's no question that he's running in circles where he has the opportunity to come across these people that the average person wouldn't. But I'm just...
Hey, you know, speaking of Jennifer Aniston, she's single again. Maybe those two.
Oh, God.
Like, how? She's out promoting. She's got a new show coming on. Maybe she'll be on SNL.
Could you imagine? Well, okay. Well, if that happens, then prepare to talk about that.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I think you'll launch an entire new podcast.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm going to have to. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll have like a spin-off podcast just to explore this mystery.
Then I will go. Then I'll have to go past you, and I'll have to get like psychologists and geniuses.
Yeah, right. Yes, because this is all unofficial. I am not. This is all just.
Yeah. No. And I appreciate that.
I'm not an expert on, you know, human nature and attraction. So you will need like a whole team of actual professionals.
Yeah. I mean, I like to get a female point of view, but then after that, I have to go clinical. If he goes out with Jennifer Aniston, this is more than just, you know, some little,
then
you know.
Then the alarm. This is like then the red. The major red flags. The five alarms.
Yeah, this is more than just a little, coffee clatch, book club chatter. Then I have to go to Vienna, you know.
Right, exactly.
You know, and really find some educated doctors to explain this. But well, thank you, Emily. I mean, I don't know if we got anywhere, but I just had to bring this up because you know, one time is an accident.
As you know what, as always, I think we've not cleared anything up, and we have probably only raised more questions than we've answered.
Well, I'm going to say, well, one time is an accident, two times is a trend, and three times is baffling.
Is Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Look, I mean, hey, I like I said, I think he's funny, so.
Now you're scaring me. Now you're scaring me. I'm hoping to God that you don't. I hope you don't go to see an episode of Saturday Night Live.
I was going to say maybe the next thing you know, I'll be dating.
I'm going to be like, whoa, Emily. Now I have some real questions for you.
Oh yeah. No, it's okay. I'm married. As we know, I'm married, so that's not.
I know, but I mean, the way you're talking, I mean, it seems like if you're on Saturday Night Live, all bets are off.
Right. Well, you know, like I said, we've only raised more questions than we've answered here.
Okay.
You know, my work here is done.
Yes. Well, like I said,
cleared up nothing.
And the only thing we could look forward to is the next person that Davidson will date. And if she's out of his league, I won't even bring this up again, but just know if it's somebody out of his league, know that I'm somewhere screaming.
Yes, you're.
And with that, we say thanks, Emily, for taking some time out and adding some whatever insights you may have added. I'm not sure what you did.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
And we will talk to you again when we go back to the Pop Culture Club.
Sounds good.
Great. Talk to you again. And so that does end another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Don't forget, every Monday a new episode is posted at WGNPlus.com or anywhere that you find your favorite podcast. And don't forget, wherever that is, subscribe, rate, and pass the word on that you like and want to listen to and want your friends to listen to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Thanks for your loyalty and your continued downloading, scrolling, and clicking. It is much, much appreciated. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You have been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen.